All right. Welcome to another installment of the Agile Uprising podcast. I'm your host tonight, Jason Kuzak. I am rolling solo. Apparently, I have this great idea for a podcast and everyone bails on me. So I'm going to do my best to kind of get through this on my own. Shout out to Lef. I know that he's traveling in Arizona and he would love to be here if he could. He was sending pictures of some maskless dude on the flight that he was on. So he was not a happy man tonight. And I know that Hirschko was doing some other stuff too with Drexel. So not to discount all the other members of Uprising, but those two guys are usually my go-tos. I have the most fun with them. Don't Merman, I said that. But for tonight, I want to introduce a new series to everybody. And we'll get into how we came up with this name. But the name of the series is going to be Shoulders of Giants. And I think just to share a quick anecdote, I meet with Agilists all the time. Sometimes it's through interviews. Sometimes it's at work. Sometimes it's outside of work. Sometimes it's through Discord channel. I meet people all the time. And when I get some one-on-one time with someone, I usually ask two questions. The first question, and this is really just to learn more about like how they think and what can I learn from them. But the two questions are, one, what are you reading right now? What interests you? Specific to our space, but it could be anything. And two, my second question is, who or what thought leaders challenge your thinking? Because I like to see who are people following? What are they interested in? And I'll be honest, I usually get really terrible answers to those two questions. I usually get the answer of, you know what? I just don't have time to read. I don't have time to listen to the podcast, the pandemic. I got stuff going on at work, stuff going on with family. And I respect that, but I would rephrase it like this. It's not that you didn't have time. It's that this wasn't a priority, right? I mean, we all have time. We all choose to use our time how we wish. And it doesn't make you a bad person. But to me, as I hear those answers, I started thinking like, how else can we connect people with information? Like, what else could we do as a podcast series or as a discussion on Discord? Like, what are the different channels that we have access to and how can we help elevate our community? So that's really the point of the series. It's about sparking eternal curiosity, right? Like, how can I give someone a tidbit of information and have them be curious enough to take it a step further? And ultimately, I think that if we can enhance our collective intelligence as a community, we can really embrace the mantra of one of us can never be smarter than all of us. So for the people that don't have time to listen to podcasts or to read, I challenge us as a community to try to elevate their thinking through other channels. And for the folks that do listen to the podcast, you know, maybe you can help us figure out other ways that we can connect with these people and help us think through what else can we do to introduce new concepts, new ideas. So as I say that, I really want to also frame out one more thing. Beyond raising the collective intelligence, it's about what can we learn? How do we challenge our own thinking? So that's what the series is going to be about. Ideally, Shoulders of Giants is going to be very quick hit, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes tops. I know that the most recent coaching podcast, I was looking at the recording. I think it's like an hour and 16 minutes. I'm sure they had a great time. Merman, Gifford, Schneider, a couple other folks that were on that. I'm sure they had a great time. But the point of this is to make it quick. This one might be a little bit longer because I'm trying to frame out some of these ideas as we go through it. But generally speaking, as we pick one of these giants that we're going to learn about, we'll make it quick. That way for the folks that don't have time, they have no excuses. It's 20 minutes. You can hopefully listen in between meetings. The other thing about this series is it's not going to be us rambling about our experiences. Right. I mean, a lot of our stuff sometimes is like interviewing people, sometimes is us being a little irreverent. But this one is, at least in my mind, hopefully like very polished, very professional, minimal profanity where we can avoid it, as well as being quick. And I think that the whole point of the series is it's us giving appreciation for those that have paved the road for us. And it's continuing the quest to be continuous learners. Right. So, you know, this is all about acknowledging all the accomplishments that are in this space and trying to pull a thread on what can we learn from it. So for us tonight, why is tonight so special for me? Well, beyond it being the first of the series, this episode is going to be dedicated to Mike Beadle. Mike Beadle was a pioneer. He was a leader. He was a person who loved people. And we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary of his death, or perhaps more aptly, the celebration of his legacy. And as we started Uprising, one of the ideas that we kicked around that took many different forms was this idea of, let's go back to Snowbird. Let's do a retro on the manifesto itself. And Mike was such an amazing interviewer. when we met with him, he just gave us unfiltered access to his career, what he was thinking. And so if you're new to Uprising and you haven't heard that episode, you can go find it. I recently listened to it and I've heard it probably 5 or 6 times, but every time I listen to it, I take a different note. And I have this page of notes that I took, and I ran out of room taking notes. So I had to write them like upside down, and like, it's really hard to read. So I can't share that with folks, but I would encourage you, if you don't know who Mike Beadle is, please go listen to that. He's one of the thought leaders that I don't think it's enough recognition in our circles. And when I meet with those agilists and I ask them, you know, who influences your thinking, a lot of people will drop Sutherland's name, they'll drop Schwaber's name. But Mike Beadle was in the thick of all those things. In fact, he was probably, I wouldn't say more influential, but he is like 1A to those two guys from a Scrum perspective, in my opinion. And so most people know Mike Beadle beyond being a co-author of the manifesto, but they also know him as the CEO of Enterprise Scrum. But one of the things you might not know about Mike, and it's probably more covered now, but it wasn't when I was researching Mike years back, that he started as a physicist. And so like one of the things you can take from that is, wow, like these guys that did the manifesto, like they came from all different walks of life. You took a lot of people from different types of backgrounds who thought differently and were able to bring an idea to life. So, you know, Mike was a physicist, and in his words, and he says this on the podcast, he was not a computer person, which is funny because he was recruited highly by IBM. And I think he says in the podcast that, you know, IBM came after him a couple of times and he said no a bunch of times. And then they finally just made him an offer he couldn't refuse. So he joined IBM. And when we were talking about his contributions, you know, he talks about how he thinks his studies on organizational patterns, his study on management patterns. He had a great paper, which will circulate in our Discord channel, about organizational design. And he was also the second person to implement Scrum in 1995, the second person. So if there's anyone out there with more experience than Mike Beadle, I'd like to see who they are, because this man really dedicated his life to this. And it's probably not a path that he envisioned as he was getting his physics degree. I give him a lot of credit there too, because I think that there are paths in life sometimes that present themselves, and we look at those paths and we say, ah, you know what, it's not for me because it's not the thing I study, or it's not the thing I'm comfortable with, or it's not the thing that I'm the expert in. And one of the lessons I take from this is that Mike didn't do that. Mike embraced the unknown. He took chances, he took risks, and he followed his pursuits and passions in a way that his career really stands up to when you look at all the different things that he did and what his background actually was. So one of the things I did want to read for you is a quote from him. During the podcast that we did with Lockhart and Gifford, what Beadle says is, there's a question about like, hey, who came up with the term agile, right? Like we all use that term every single day, like hundreds of times a day. Agile coaches, agile ceremonies, agile this, agile that. And so the quote from the podcast is, and this is actually coming from an InfoQ article on Mike Beadle, where Uprising was quoted during the interview. We can send a link out to that too. But it says, when Lockhart asked him about where did the word agile come from, Mike Beadle said, I can tell you I came up with that word, agile, because I was familiar with the book, Agile Competitors in Virtual Organizations. We had proposed adaptive, essential, lean, and lightweight. We did not want to use adaptive because Jim Heisman had given this to one of his works, and essential sounded overly proud, and lean had already been taken, and nobody wanted to be a lightweight. And he goes on to say, we did this in the second day and only took a few minutes to decide on this. So like, that's an interesting history that I loved when I heard it. And every time I think back to it, it's amazing how much impact that word has today. And would it have been different if it had been branded differently? Right? Who knows? But certainly one of the things that I ponder. Beyond Mike's experience in the Scrum world and beyond all his studies and organizational patterns and management and things like that, one of my other favorite quotes from Mike, he had said when they were going through the activities at Snowbird, and I think he gives credit to Martin Fowler. I'd have to go back and really check my notes, because I have Bob Martin and Martin Fowler both written here. But specifically, he says, these guys came to me and said they wanted to start a revolution, that they wanted to change the world. And Mike Beadle says, what a bunch of crazy people. I'll join them. Right? Like, I think this says everything he needs to say about Mike. And I know that during the course of that interview, Lockhart had asked him, like, well, did you guys think that you're going to change the world? And Mike said something like, you know what? We were really just hoping that people would go to the website, which is kind of funny, because when you look back now, what, 20 years, it certainly had more influence than people just going to a website. So I'd say another note too, and I see this happen all the time. Mike's quote was that the whole point of enterprise Scrum was to enable the entire organization, right? It wasn't just about software. It wasn't just about the technology. It was about the entire organization. And his specific quote was, understanding what's important within context, right? So that to me means that Mike was pragmatic and that the things that he had a vision that he wanted to drive people to, but he was also a realist in that he knew that stuff wasn't going to happen overnight. He knew that there wasn't going to be full-scale adoption and people would just embrace the principles and just do all the things that was espoused at that time. I hear so many people who come in with a specific framework where you'll talk about Agile and they'll go, what framework are you using? You even mention the word safe, either people will get immediately aggravated or like immediately excited because they've been through all the safe training. They have a billion certificates from safe. They can cite you all the training, but it's not about implementing a framework. It's about understanding problems within context. What are we trying to accomplish and what helps us get there? And in that interview, he talks about Scrum being a framework, being lightweight, being flexible, being extensible, but not that it was, I think he says, not to be a Gantt chart. Like you can't run your transformation by using a Gantt chart. There isn't like a set of milestones that you just march toward. And the second that those things are done, then you declare victory and suddenly you're agile, right? And I have seen that happen so many times. And I've probably been a part of some of those decisions through one way or another, where you put a plan on paper as a way to visualize it, but then suddenly it becomes the plan that must be delivered because it's on paper instead of adapting the plan or thinking through new problems that surface as you kind of go through your transformation. One last thing about Mike Beadle, he had said, even criticisms are positive, right? And that's something that I think even in the corporate world, like a lot of times people see criticism as a mechanism for having to be defensive or having to take a position that requires you to have an adversary because someone challenged you or because someone didn't like your idea. And one of the things I took from Mike was, if people are criticizing it, it means that they're actually thinking through what your ideas are. And that's a good thing. And the fact that they're criticizing it means that they've thought about it and that they've taken a different position. And it doesn't mean that one person's right and one person's wrong. It just means that there's more open communication that can happen as a result. And the more that we can check egos at the door and understand where the other person is coming from, as well as figure out what the best way to collaborate is, we'll probably be in a better spot, right? One of the trainings I took years ago, you know, this term of cooperate versus collaborate. And it's one of the things I kept with me forever. And the intent there was cooperation means that, you know, there might be a better way, but it's more effort to share what your real opinion is. And so you just kind of go along with it because it's really not worth your time to fight. Where collaboration is a healthy exchange of ideas. And sometimes there's going to be conflict and it's healthy conflict. And you need that conflict so that you can build a new idea on top of the potentially two opposing ones or the two ones that don't necessarily line up exactly perfect. And so I love that aspect of Beadle because it helps me channel to always be positive, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of, you know, someone coming after an idea that I might have and telling me it's terrible. Like Discord, as an example, could come out and say, that podcast series is the worst idea on the planet. Now, I might still do an episode or two or three just because I love to think about what have I personally learned, and I'll probably drag Lef along with me at some point. But you know what? If it's not valuable to people, it's really just valuable to me. I'll probably just set up a one-on-one time with Andrew and then him and I will just talk about it, right? So I'll be looking for that feedback. And part of the Discord community that I love is how much feedback you get in a real-time basis, right? And that allows us to form new ideas. So as you're listening to this and you've got ideas of thought leaders that we should learn from, or you have ideas about how to tweak the series itself, like please send it, right? Because this is just an idea. This is an experiment on my part, but I would love to invite that criticism in. I frame it that way because of Mike Beadle. I give him a lot of credit. And I've really learned a lot doing some studying on what he's done. I love the way that he writes. And to me, he just really epitomizes what I think we should all be looking for in leaders, which is a willingness to think through problems as well as open themselves and be vulnerable to critiques. So I'll finish up with one last quote. I know I said that before, but this one's for real. This is literally going to be the last quote. And here it is. Also in the same article, and this is also from the Uprising podcast, we said, and we ended every interview like this, like, what would you tell the next generation of thought leaders? Like, what can they learn? Where do you hope this goes? And this is exactly verbatim what Mike Beadle said. He said, I would tell them to take the Agile ideas as a good starting point, a starting point that maybe gets you further than what we had as management in the 20th century. Don't stop looking. Keep innovating. Keep questioning the techniques. Keep questioning what's going great. The only way to evolve eventually is to piggyback and stand on the shoulders of giants. Don't be afraid to take it down. If you do see good reasons to evolve it, to improve it, go ahead. Don't stop here. Take it further. That is so meaningful to me. Right? This is an invitation, and not that we needed one, but this is an invitation from one of our thought leaders to say, evolve, right? Don't take what we did and say that that's good enough. Find reasons why you should innovate and then go do it. And it's so funny because this is how things happen sometimes, right? Andrew and I are really good friends outside of work. And, you know, we've shared at least ideas about like, how do you frame different problems you're solving? How do you connect with people? And Andrew's far better at than I am. But one of the quotes that I saw from some of his material that I loved, and it's not that Andrew invented it. I just happened to see it from him. So I give him the credit, even though he'll give the credit to somebody else, and he should. But the quote is from Isaac Newton. If I have seen further than others, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants. And for me, like, I think as a community, if we did more of that, right? Like, it's not about the look at me, look at all the amazing things that I personally did. It should be about, look at the people that led before us and how we were able to springboard our ideas off of the foundation that they laid out. And that's why I love that quote. And I had said that to Andrew. I actually said it to our entire board. We had a board meeting probably 2 weeks ago at this point. And I really wanted to anchor on that shoulders of giants quote because I felt like that was the right spot. When I was listening to the Beadle interview, he literally used that quote in the interview. And I was floored. I was like, holy shit. Like, either I have couched that back in my memory and just have no recollection of it. And it's that influential that it seeps through everything that I want to go do, or it's a complete accident, or it's, you know, some weird coincidence. So I'm going to not take credit for any of this stuff. I'm going to absolutely give it to Mike Beadle. I love the fact that he used the shoulders of giants as one of his quotes. It says a lot to me to anchor our series name on that and to start with Mike with such an amazing career that he had, and certainly leaving us too soon. And I will say this as a final learning about Mike. One of the things that I loved about Mike Beadle was that he would connect with people even if they couldn't teach him something. Right? Like, if you let that sink in for a minute, like most of us, we seek connections to enrich our lives, right? Like, we go hang out with people or go seek the approval of people because we feel like they can either introduce us to someone, we're curious about their work, there's something that we want to follow about them. And what Mike did was the opposite. I would love to frame it as, maybe what we should start doing as a community is seek a connection so that we can enrich someone else's life. It's not about enriching our life. Maybe it's about enriching someone else's. And really, all the co-authors of the manifesto were just amazing to work with. I mean, those guys didn't know us anything. And we're nobodies, right? Like, we're just a group of people that love this space. Really, in the beginning, we're even still, honestly, very, very unpolished. We have a point of view. We're unapologetic about it. But at the same time, these guys didn't know us anything, right? Like, they didn't have to take the time that they took. It's been amazing to listen to it even a few years later and see how relevant some of the conversations still are. So I say that as a learning, that if you're going to connect with people, find a reason how you can enrich their lives. Don't wait or seek to just enrich your own. So that's one. And I would say another lesson that I think that we could probably learn from Mike, and this is probably true in a lot of cases, but it's about truly living. It's about finding your passion. It's about having a starting point and not knowing where the end point's going to be and being okay with that, right? Like, how do you start as a physicist and then work your way into IBM? And then you're talking about at IBM, the productivity was so bad that, you know, they were 10,000% better when they implemented Scrum. But he was gracious about this. He said, but when you're zero, anything can look like infinity, right? So this is a guy that went from physicist into being an IBM to a failing project to adopting Scrum, which is something no one had even heard of before as an experiment, seeing incredible productivity numbers, thinking through the different aspects of an organization, starting a business, promoting this idea of enterprise Scrum, right? Like that's an incredible journey. And it's not something that Mike was in school that he probably would admit that he knew that would be the outcome, right? And I think that's the beauty of it. So, you know, find your passion, be balanced. I know Mike had a large family. I think he had, you know, 6 kids. And I know that he found time, run the business, you know, spend time with people, go to conferences, and also be with his family. So I would say, you know, we can probably learn from some of that. Let's not use excuses about we don't have time. Let's find things that we should prioritize and then prioritize them and never shy away from a path that seems less traveled. And then lastly, I think as another final lesson, it's about being pragmatic, right? And that's how I've tried to anchor my coaching stance through my entire career. I don't want to be the guy that read a book and says, you know, I read this book and it says we should do X. I want to read a book, have a point of view about it, and then experiment with some of those ideas and say, hey, this actually is better. Or no, you know what? This didn't work in that situation. But I'm not going to be the person that says, you must do it this way because that's the way it's always been done and because the framework says it. And I read the Scrum Guide and all these other reasons why it seems like it should work. Because you're going to find that one time where it doesn't, and it's not going to make you a better professional because you're not going to have any other ways to solve that problem. So in my mind, it's about being pragmatic. And, you know, that was another big lesson or message that I got from Mike in his interview with Agile Uprising. I think with that said, we'll end this first episode. I will shuffle my papers for you all. Really miss the camaraderie of our board. Like, I wish I didn't have to do this alone tonight, but I really wanted to make sure that with the anniversary of Mike's passing this week, that we could get an episode out to honor his legacy and thank him and be grateful for his accomplishments and really see through the vision that he gave us and the advice he gave us, which is to take what people have done before us and to make it better and to continue to leverage the shoulders of giants. So Mike, thank you for all the things you've done for us. And we'll be connecting our Uprising listeners and podcast brethren with some of these materials. We'll create a Discord channel. It'll be a ton of fun. Talk about some of the stuff, and we will be looking for your input on who we go after next. I've got some ideas, but we'll source some ideas from the community too. And then if there's some folks that would like to join us on a podcast and kind of talk through learnings, that would be awesome too. So Shoulders of Giants episode 1 is complete. Thank you for listening. I am Jason Kuzak. I had fun tonight. See you soon.